I honestly, I don't mean this unkindly. I'd prefer not talking to the top of your head tonight, taking a bunch of notes. You can get it online or some other way. I'd rather just teach it to you so that I know that you're listening. Some of these things are going to be intense, and I'm going to go quickly through some of this, so don't try to get it all in, down on paper, all right? You're not going to be able to do it. This is more hours of work than we have to teach it, but I want to help you tonight. Mark chapter 14, look at verse number 12. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, notice that statement. His disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth them forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good men of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared, there make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and say unto him one by one, is it I? Another said, is it I? And he said, and he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for him that that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave unto them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when they had given thanks, he gave it unto them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood, which of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Now, listen to me carefully. I believe in trusting God's word over tradition any day. Yes, amen. Just because someone has said or some religion has done something for a long time doesn't make it biblical.
That's right.
Just because you learned something a long time ago doesn't mean that it was truth. Now, we're going to take the Bible literally as God said it.
Amen.
I have no apologies with that. I'm not going to add tradition with it. We will add scripture to it. Religion and tradition has ruined a lot of Bible teaching. There is no such thing as Holy Week.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Holy Week is made up by the Catholics and denominationalists to make a lot of money and bring people into church. There's no such thing as Holy Week. You'll find out later that was all nailed to the cross. Now, let me say this. Baptists have never been Protestant. We are not Protestants. We were around 1,500 years before there ever was a Protestant.
Amen.
The Protestants are those that followed Martin Luther and came out of the Catholic Church. The Lutherans, the Episcopalians, the Methodists, the Greek Orthodox, the English Orthodox, Church of Christ, Church of God, Assemblies of God, all those are Protestant churches. They were part of the protest against the Catholic Church. Martin Luther killed as many Baptists as the Pope did. Everybody doing okay? The Catholic Church doesn't go all the way back to Jesus. Catholic Church started in 330 at the Council of Nicaea under Constantine. He wanted power over the people. All he had was political power, but the people were relying on the religious power, so he made a state church called the Catholic Church, the Universal Church. That's what the word Catholic means. It means universal. That way he had control of the politics as well as the religion, which gave him more power over the kingdom of the people. That's where it started. They say, oh, we have the apostolic succession. I almost said possession. And they knew that wasn't it. Well, I hate to tell you, they were about 300 years late on that. Peter wasn't their first pope. And if he was, he had a mother-in-law. And if he had a mother-in-law wasn't married, he was not real bright. So you have to understand, the Catholic Church did not come on the scene for 300 years after Calvary. Now think through that. Let me ask you a question. Jesus started the church in Matthew chapter 16. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then there was a man named John the Baptist who baptized him. Baptist wasn't his last name. So what does that make Jesus? A Baptist. And Baptists have been around since the first church all the way back in Matthew chapter 16. Now, there's no way to get 3 days and three nights from Friday evening at 6 o'clock to Sunday morning. I don't care who's teaching it, including the public school with the new math. You can't get 3 days and three nights. It does not work. religious people have accepted tradition instead of Bible fact. I'm appalled at Baptist churches having Good Friday services. You say, why? It's unscriptural. Well, it's culturally accepted. There's a lot of things accepted in our culture I'm not bringing into our church.
Amen.
LGBTQ alphabet soup people are culturally accepted, but it ain't coming here.
Amen.
We can go down through a lot of things that shouldn't be accepted just because it's culturally accepted. I want to use the Bible and show you what happened that week. Now, this past Sunday is what they call Palm Sunday. Now, I'll get into that in a little while here. But before we do that, I want to show you how Jesus was crucified on Wednesday and how that works. Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. We don't turn there. Hang on. The Bible talks about this, that God made the day by the sunlight, and he made the night to rule with the moon. Correct? And God says the evening and the morning were of the first day. We say the morning and the evening. God says the evening and the morning. The Hebrew calendar is based on two 12-hour periods, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., and then 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. The day would start at 6 p.m. Technically, if you were going by Hebrew calendar, you're an hour and 22 minutes into Thursday night. Not Wednesday night. Wednesday night was last night. Make sense to everybody? Okay, now hang on here. God starts with dark and ends with day. The evening and the morning were of the first day. So a day is a 12-hour period of time. And so is the darkness. Turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Look at verse number 9. John chapter 11, look at verse number 9. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a what?
Day.
Does that mean that a complete day is 12 hours? No. The daylight hours are 12 hours. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of the world. But if any man walk in the night, that means there's 12 hours a night, right? He stumbleth because there is no light in him. So God talks about being in the light in the day and it being 12 hours, correct? He was in reference to the Hebrew culture, the Hebrew day. Now, Hebrew days began at 6 p.m., not as ours at midnight. Technically, we still follow a Hebrew calendar. It's just 6 hours later. Our day starts at midnight. It starts at night. Now, what we've done is messed it up, and it starts at night and ends at night. they started it in the evening. The nighttime was all part of a 12-hour period. The daytime came thereafter. When I use the word Hebrew, you have to understand something. Hebrew is the race of people. Jewish is the religion. Just because you say somebody's Jewish doesn't mean they're from Israel. Doesn't make them Hebrew. Jewish is religious. Hebrew is the nationality. Does that make sense to everybody? I thought I better back up and say that. Now, so a day, 12 hours, a night, 12 hours, 24-hour period. But it's a little different than ours in the fact that the day starts the evening before what we call day. All right? So Jesus, therefore, had to be crucified on Wednesday, buried by 6 p.m. on Wednesday to be resurrected by Sunday morning. And I'll show you something here. Three nights then would be this. If he were crucified on Wednesday during the day, like today, that means by 6 o'clock, an hour and 25 minutes ago, he had to be in the grave because by sundown, all that had to be cared for. That's why they called the centurion in to break their legs, but they said he's already dead. And the centurion took his spear and stuck it in his side, and out came water and blood. Because the Bible said not a bone of his body should be broken. He was already dead. But they had to have him down off the cross and in the grave by 6 p.m. Why? Because at 6 p.m., 6:01 p.m., it became what day?
Thursday.
So you would be Thursday night, Thursday day. Friday night, Friday day. Saturday night, Saturday day. And he resurrected before 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. He wasn't there a complete night. That's how you get Jesus being crucified on Wednesday and resurrecting on a Sunday morning. He came out of the ground before 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. That's why it said in the early morning, at daybreak. If you remember when he met Mary on the road there at the cemetery, it was before daybreak. So it was before the actual day began. He didn't get a complete night in that night. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse number 40. Oh, I love this. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40. For as Jonas, meaning Jonah, was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now everybody look at me. If Jesus was crucified on a Friday and they had him off the cross by 6 p.m. Friday, what starts at 6:01? So you have Saturday evening, Saturday day, Sunday evening, and he resurrected that morning. That's a day and a half at most. There is absolutely no way to get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday.
Right.
It's impossible. So you have to understand, he was crucified on Wednesday. Now, probably the best way to say it is this. You had Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Then the high priests and the politicians get together, say he's guilty of treason. He had gone into the temple, made a whip, kicked the money changers' tables over, and started whipping the snot out of them, getting them out of there. Yeah, yeah. Destroying the temple business. Religious leaders got upset they were losing money. Always happens that way. So on Monday, he's with his disciples. Tuesday, they have the Lord's Supper, which is Passover, and I'll show you that in a moment. Tuesday night is when they had the trial. I call it the kangaroo court, trying Jesus, and he was crucified on Wednesday morning. mid-morning. Say, why is that? Because that's how it worked for him to be able to be on the cross and in the grave 3 days and three nights. Now, we have the Sabbath issue. So, well, he had to be put in the tomb before the Sabbath began. And that meant 6 o'clock Friday evening because Saturday's the Sabbath. Everybody understand that? Saturday is the weekly Sabbath. But there are 8 different Sabbaths in the Bible. Look at Mark chapter 15. Everybody doing all right? Amen. I'm having fun. Mark chapter 15. Look at verse number 42. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. And now when the even, or the evening, was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the what? Sabbath. Turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Say, preacher, you're losing your marbles. If Saturday's the Sabbath, how could he be crucified on Wednesday when it's talking about this? I'll show you in a moment. Luke chapter 23, look at verse number 52. Luke 23:52. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. So it's talking about the Sabbath, correct? But there are many Sabbaths. There are 8 major different Sabbaths in the Bible, not just Saturday. You have, first of all, the annual Sabbath. That was on the first day of the 7th month. That's found in Leviticus 23:23. Don't take time to turn there. Then you had Passover. Oh, anybody remember that word? Passover was on the first month, the 14th day. Didn't matter what day of the week. Didn't say the first Saturday. Says the first month, the 14th day. Watch this. Then you have the Sabbath of unleavened bread. That is the first month, the 15th day. Those two go together, back to back. Then you have the Sabbath of the first fruits, which is the first month, the 17th day, 2 days later. Then you have the Sabbath of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the first fruits. Then you have the Sabbath of the trumpets. That's the 7th month. You have the Sabbath of the Atonement, which is also in the 7th month. And you have the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is also a Sabbath, which is also in the 7th month. Now, I say that to say this. You can have more than one Sabbath in 1 week then, correct? Matter of fact, with Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, you have 3 in 1 week. And if Saturday hits in between there, you could have as many as 4 Sabbaths in 1 week. Correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, none of these are determined by the day of the week except the actual regular or weekly Sabbath. Now, Saturday was the regular weekly Sabbath. But look in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Look at verse number 31. Notice this is in reference while he was at Calvary, being taken off of Calvary. All right? John chapter 19, verse number 31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. For that Sabbath day was an, what's the next two words?
High day.
High day. Look at me. The regular Sabbath was never called a high day. Those high days are these special Sabbaths. Annual Sabbath, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, Feast of the Trumpets. But it says here, it was a high day. A high Sabbath. We already read which Sabbath it was going to be. Passover was right before then. It was the evening before. So that was the unleavened bread. That's why you had the Lord's Supper. That's why he sat down with his disciples with the at the Passover, and they did it with the unleavened bread, because the next day was also represented by the unleavened bread. Why? Broken body. He became the unleavened bread. Now, this is good stuff. What Sabbath was before the crucifixion? John chapter 19, look at verse number 14. John chapter 19, verse number 14. John chapter 19, verse number 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he said unto the Jews, behold your king. Huh. Who said that? But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered and said, we have no king but Caesar. They delivered him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. Wow. So we're at Passover. There is a high Sabbath there. That was the, by the way, that was the picture in the book of Exodus of the Passover, was it not?
Yes, sir.
The picture of Passover was that one day the blood of the lamb would be shed, and it's blood placed on the doorposts and lentils was there. And as the death angel, if he saw the blood applied, he would pass over and there would be no death. That's what Passover was all about. Jesus was the Lamb of God crucified before the foundation of the world. He became our Passover on Passover. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun here. That means Passover followed the crucifixion, the first Monday, the 14th day. Or the first month, 14th day. Sorry, not Monday. Then you had the unleavened bread. Then you had the weekly Sabbath. You had three Sabbaths in a row that week. So the Sabbath issue wasn't that he had to be crucified on Friday because Saturday is the Sabbath. According to John chapter 19, he was crucified at a high Sabbath. Everybody got that? Again, Hebrew calendar, evening, morning. 12 hours evening, 12 hours day. So he was crucified on a Wednesday, came out and was taken off the cross by 6 p.m. on Wednesday. Wednesday night at 6:01 becomes Thursday. So you have Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day. Then before 6 a.m., he resurrects from the tomb. That's how Jesus, crucified on Wednesday, gets away from the annual or the weekly Sabbath, because there were more than one Sabbath in that week. That's why after the resurrection came Pentecost. Basically after the resurrection came Pentecost. That all goes together. Now, I'm going to say a few more things, then I'll hit another thing here. Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week. Do you know what the first day of the week is? Sunday. Look at Mark chapter 16. Look at verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, now that's the regular weekly Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come to anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Notice, very early in the morning, it didn't say in the day. It's still dark. At the rising of the sun, soon as they could get out. It hadn't switched over to 6 a.m. yet. Or it would be day. You see, and they said among themselves, "Who shall roll the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw the stone was already rolled away, for it was very great. He had come out before they got there. Everybody see that? Okay. Now, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Say, "Preacher, why is all this important?" I'll show you exactly why. And I'm going to make a couple statements, and then I'm going to prove it to you. Everybody, once you get to Colossians 2, look at me. I want to teach you something. Religion today, mainline religion, follows Old Testament tabernacle principles. They follow the priesthood. They follow all the traditions. You've got the high priest, or we would call him Pope or El Papa. They follow the old Levitical type things, but Jesus came and fulfilled all that. He did away with it. Anytime that you're following the temple stuff, by the way, if you go through the book of Acts and you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, look how many times Jesus is at the temple preaching, getting people saved. They went to the temple to preach the truth, to get people saved. People were leaving the temple and going to the church. That's what got him in trouble. So, well, I don't think we ought to talk to people that go to another church. If they're going to another Baptist church, I don't mess with them too much. But they go to some denominational church, you better believe it, that's what Jesus did. Everybody doing okay? Well, that's proselyting. No, that's because you're lazy. Ain't got the goods to keep them? Don't keep them. If they can take mine, I didn't have the goods to keep them. Plain and simple. Not my decision. I just preach the truth.
That's good.
But I want you to notice something here. Jesus said, or God says, Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 14. Blotting out the handwriting of, what's the next word? Ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Notice the semicolon. That means the sentence is continuing. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a what? Holy day, or of a new moon, or of what? Sabbath days. Every one of those things was nailed to the cross. Holy days were nailed to the cross. High Sabbaths, all those things were nailed to the cross. We're not to keep those anymore. Those were done away with. That's why we have church on Sunday, not on Saturday. Because on the first day of the week that he met with his disciples. If you went back to Matthew 16, you find out that he started it on a Sunday. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Say, why is that important? Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Oh, my soul, I got to hurry. Folks, I have about 6 hours worth of material to teach you in 40 minutes, and it's just gnawing at me. I feel like that horse at the racetrack, and he's in the gate ready to go, and they won't blow that whistle to open that gate up, amen? Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse number 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, ooh, that's the Old Testament priesthood, right? For under it the people received the law. What further need was there that any other priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance to the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Oh. So anybody following the Levitical priesthood is wrong scripturally, because Jesus was not a Levite. He was of the tribe of Judah. And he is our high priest who intercedes for us to this day. He died once, entered into the holy place one time, put his blood on the mercy seat for our salvation, and it's not the Levitical priesthood. Same chapter, look at verse number 22. By so much more was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this did he once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, capital S, who is consecrated forevermore. Not concentrated, consecrated. Jesus nailed the holy days. He nailed the Sabbaths. He nailed all the feasts. He nailed all the symbolism of what he would do. It was nailed to the cross. There's no need for those things anymore. He fulfilled them. Why do we want to say that what he did was incomplete? Amen. Not only that, God knew, and you could read this later in the book of Hebrews. I don't have time to go through all the verses, but you would find later that people will worship the priesthood because they did not accept him as Savior. Wonder who that is. Anybody been to a Catholic church in your life? Oh, you don't need to read the Bible. I'll tell you what to read. I'll give you what you need. You don't need the Bible. You need me to tell you what it is. Just do what I tell you. You come to the priest and let him absolve your sin. Ooh. That's an antichrist. Wasn't it nice during COVID that the Pope actually said that you could actually talk to God because of quarantine and you didn't have to go to through your priest? Wasn't that nice of him? God bless his pitiful little pointed head. You say, why? Because man would continue to, by the way, he would worship the priesthood, not the high priest. Jesus fulfilled all that. He nailed it to the cross. It was done away with. So we've resolved the Sabbath issue. We've resolved he was crucified on Wednesday, not on Friday. Impossible to be off the cross by 6 p.m. Friday, have Saturday night and Saturday day, Sunday night, and Sunday day, he's already out of the grave. That's only a day and a half at most. And he was out before Sunday. We have a problem, Houston. Religious people can't count. They count their money real well, but they can't count days on the calendar. So, Palm Sunday and the Lord's Supper. Turn to Mark chapter 11. I know I'm backing up, but I wanted you to see the end, so that you see where we're at tonight. Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to read several verses here, so follow with me quickly. Yeah, Mark chapter 11, verse number 1. When they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your own way to a village over against you. As soon as you be entered, you shall find a colt tied whereupon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, why do you say ye that the Lord hath need of him? And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found a colt tied by the door without a place, where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. Why are you stealing it? Because the Lord said I needed it. Okay, take it. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off trees and strewed them in the way. It never does say they were palm trees, but I guess they assumed that they were. And many spread their garments, verse number 9, and they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom, there's the word, the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the, where? Temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things now, the eventide was come, and he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now, look at me. Palm Sunday, they came in. They cried, Hosanna. The people were trying to make him the king. They were saying, bring the kingdom of David. They were looking for the millennium to begin, where Jesus would come and rule and reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And he said, I'm not coming to be your king. I have to be the lamb before I can be your king. But the high priests were upset, and they said, they went to the political leaders, verses 15 through 18. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out and sold them and bought the temple and overthrew the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying that, unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Notice it was the scribes and the priests. It was the religious people that said, we've got to destroy him. We can't take him down religiously, but because they cried Hosanna, and they wanted him to be king, we'll go to the government and say he's guilty of treason, trying to set up his own government. That's what they convicted him of. So the Lord's Supper was at Passover. Mark chapter 14, verse number 1. We read it a little while ago. Mark chapter 14, verse number 1. After 2 days. Now, what day was he on the colt? Sunday, right? What's 2 days after Sunday? Monday, Tuesday. Not Friday. Tuesday. And after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and the unleavened bread. Notice, feast of Passover and unleavened bread. 2 Sabbaths, correct? The chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. We got to wait till there's not a feast day here. We got to get through these high holy days before we can get through this thing. Therefore, you have Jesus crucified on Wednesday. They had to get through till the evening tide, till the Sabbath was over, to start the turmoil. That's why when he left that, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. It was already the next day. Because night, then day. That's when Judas came into the garden, betrayed him. And the kangaroo court began that night, and they began to beat him and whip him and pull his beard out, put the crown of thorns and beat it in his head and spit on him. All the different 3 or 4 different trials, and Pilate washed his head and said, I'm innocent of this. He's innocent. This is innocent blood, and it's not going to be on my hands. I hate to tell you it was, because you didn't have backbone stand up against the people. So Gethsemane was Tuesday evening. All the trials and things took place Tuesday night into Wednesday, what we would call Wednesday morning. But he was crucified on Wednesday. So, technically, we are about 24 hours off of the actual schedule of that week. If we would have had church last evening, before 6 o'clock, it would have been equal to what Jesus took place there that week. Remember, Monday you had Passover, Tuesday you had unleavened bread. That started Wednesday so that they could crucify him. Then you had another Sabbath in there 2 days later. Then you had the regular Sabbath, and he resurrected on Sunday morning. Four Sabbaths, 1 week. You read it in Mark chapter 14, 2 days later, after what they call Palm Sunday. How do you get 2 days from Sunday to Friday? Now, I've done my best to make it as clear and as quick as I can, but I will tell you this. It should clear up a lot of confusion. Notice, didn't say they couldn't eat meat.
Amen.
Colossians 2 said all that was nailed to the cross.
Amen.
You can eat pork chops, you can eat hamburgers, you can eat anything you want. Matter of fact, God told Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And he said, Lord, that's unclean. He said, not since I nailed it to the cross, you can eat it all. Now, I ain't eating possum or groundhog. I'm not doing it. You can eat it, I'm not gonna. Just ain't going down the pie hole. Can I tell you something? That should help you understand the timeline and how all those things line up. The Sabbaths, the days of the week, all of that, it all comes in line scripturally and it follows in suit with everything. Let's not accept tradition.
Amen.
Let's not accept what religion tells us. Let's just take God at his word, because that's how it's supposed to be. Now, you can put your Bibles away. I'm going to ask our six deacons to come forward and sit right here on the front row. Brother Randy's going to take his spot at the piano. We're going to do the Lord's Supper. Wow. Brother Josh, you can go down by your wife for sure. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 11. You need not turn there. We read part of this in Mark chapter 14 earlier, but just an appropriate time that we ought to do the Lord's Supper. I really believe that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 24 says, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, as when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God gave us what we call the Lord's Supper. Say why? It's in remembrance of him. I have in my phone, like you do, I'm sure, some pictures. I have pictures of my family. I have a picture of my son who's in the Air Force. That's not him. It's just a representation of him. It reminds me of him. Just like the Lord's Supper is not the actual body and actual blood. That's cannibalism. Catholics are wrong. It doesn't become, it's not transubstantiation. It doesn't become the body and it doesn't become the blood when it touches you. God said, that's cannibalism and it's wrong. But it's a picture of what Jesus did. Just like baptism is a picture.
Yes, sir.
Baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is a picture of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. Now, God says there's only really two requirements. You have to be saved, and you're supposed to have been baptized as an order of obedience. Then, I don't make it to where if you're only a church member, you can do this. No, you don't have to be a church member. Saved and baptized. Say why? Because the Bible says if you do it with a bad attitude or do it mockingly, God says some get sick and some would even die from it. It's serious business. Don't mock the Lord. There was a preacher years ago in California said, oh, it doesn't matter what you can use potato chips and pop for the Lord's Supper. It's just a picture. He's a heretic. By the way, he died of cancer. Wonder how that took place. So it's not a time to play. It's a time for us to reflect and think about what the Lord did for us. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. The Bible says that we ought to take a moment and examine ourselves. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Just take a moment, and if there's something that between you and the Lord, or you've got some bitterness that you're harboring, how about you get it right so that that's not there as you think about the Lord? And now, our Father, we thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the blood that cleanses us. Thank you for the broken body of our Savior. Thank you for what you did for us. Not only did you die, but you conquered death. You became our Lamb, but you also became our High Priest. You're seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and you ever intercede for us. Lord, as we take these elements tonight, help us to remember what you've done for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at me. In a moment, we'll take the bread. We'll serve it to everybody, and we'll eat it all together. But that bread is an interesting thing. Did you know every people group in the world eat some type of bread? It is the most common form of food. Bread, by any name in any language, is still the same thing. It's bread. But this bread has no leaven in it. There's no yeast in it. It's not real soft and fluffy. Yeast has death in it. It creates death. And there was no death. There was no sin. There was no leaven in the body of our Savior. Our Savior did not sin. He took our sin upon him, but he did not sin. There was no corruption in his body. He was only in the grave 3 days and three nights. Corruption had not set in. There was no leaven in his body. It's a picture of the broken body. Think about all that he went through. Think about the fact that they took a cat of nine tails and the Roman soldiers could literally hit you with that 39 times and pull your insides out through your back. Think about how filleted open he was all the way around his chest, because they would wrap it around and rip his ribs open and rip his gut open and pull his insides out through his back. They put a coat on him, a robe. See, why'd they do that? To hold him together, to keep him alive longer, to torture him more. They took a crown of thorns and beat it into his head, and I'm talking 3 to 5 inch thorns, and just pounded it into his head. Took their fists and smacked him in the face. They coughed defilement in their throats and spat in his face. They reached up by the handful and pulled his beard out of his face. He was a broken, bloody mess. The Bible says he said not a word. They nailed him to an old cross. They took that robe off of his back and ripped open all those wounds again. Threw him down on the ground and threw him on that cross and stood it up, and in the hole it went. Shook every joint in his body out of place. For 9 hours he hung, and every breath he took he had to lift up to suck in and sit back down to exhale for 9 hours. Every breath. Say, why'd he do that? so that God could get us, so that God could be pleased. In a moment, I'll pray and three of our deacons will serve you the bread. Just hold it. When we're all served, then I'll tell you what to do. Father, please, thank you for the broken body. We're criticized for preaching the cross. Bloody religion, but Lord, it took your blood and it took your broken body to give us salvation. Thank you for that broken body. Thank you for taking what we could not take. You took it upon yourself to do what we couldn't do, to give God the Father back what he wanted most, mankind. Help us to remember it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.